Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we begin to read at verse 17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, ready to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. How often do you hear people saying, "Well, it was only a little white lie"? Many people consider lying to be one of the smallest sins possible. Maybe not even worth calling a sin at all. Something trivial. But what does God say about it? And today we come to the 9th of the 10 words which God gives us in Exodus 20. These 10 statements that God gave to his people. 10 things that he wants us to remember and to live by. And God considered being truthful important enough to include in this list. In this list of his top 10 things for us to remember. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." The word "bearing false witness," it's the language of the law court. And it's telling us to be truthful. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But of course it's not only in court that we're to be truthful. We can see that from other places in the Bible. At Leviticus 19 verse 11. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Ephesians 4 verse 25. Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Colossians 3 verse 9 tell us, do not lie to one another. The teaching of the Bible is clear. We are not to lie to other people. Two of those passages that I've read refer to your neighbor. What did Jesus say when he was asked, who is my neighbor? He told the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were one of the Israelites' most hated enemies. We are not to lie to anyone. Do not lie. But what is lying? Maybe that question's not as simple as it sounds. You might say, lying is saying something that's not true. But it's possible to say something that's not true and yet not be lying. If you believe that it is true, you're not lying. I'll give you an example. If someone asks me how much my car is worth, I might say it's worth $5,000. That may be wrong. The car may only be worth $3,000. But if I genuinely thought it was worth $5,000, I'm not lying. I was wrong. But if I didn't know it was wrong, it's not lying. You see the distinction? So we maybe need to modify our definition slightly. Lying is saying something you know to be untrue. Or maybe even saying something you suspect to be untrue. Why is lying wrong? The 10 words here in Exodus 20 are God's law. They're not just a random bunch of rules. They're laws that are based on God's character. God's described both in Psalm 31 verse 5 and in Isaiah 65 verse 16 as the God of truth. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Hebrews 6 verse 18 goes even further. It tells us, it is impossible for God to lie. Titus 1 verse 2 agrees. It speaks of the God who cannot lie. Truthfulness is so deeply embedded into the fabric of God's character that he cannot lie. And this God tells us, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be like Him, to be holy, to be truthful. Jesus, as well as being a man, is God. And since Jesus is God, and God cannot lie, it is impossible for Jesus to lie. During over 30 years on this earth, Jesus never told a single lie. Romans 8 verse 29 tells us that God predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. God chose us to make us like Christ. Christ didn't lie. And God is working in us to make us like Christ, so that we will not lie. You might be asking, but there were people in the Bible who lied. What about Rahab? She lied about the spies being hidden in her house. So is lying sometimes okay? Well, we need to remember that not everything that the people in the Bible did was right. Just because the Bible tells us that someone did something doesn't necessarily mean that they should have done that thing. What does the Bible tell us about Rahab? It tells us that God rewarded Rahab because she welcomed and hid the spies. It actually tells us that in four different places, that God rewarded Rahab because she hid the spies or because she welcomed them. Never once does it say that God was pleased that Rahab lied. You see, even when we do something that is right, there's often something wrong mixed up with it too. You pray at the prayer meeting, but you're hoping that others will think well of you. That's pride. You young people, do what your mum or your dad tells you, but you grumble about it. That's not honouring your parents. Oh, so often, even when we do something that's right, there's something wrong mixed up with it. And I think Rahab was the same. Do not lie. Let's think a bit about how that works out in practice. It means that you're not to exaggerate. God doesn't allow you to stretch the truth, to make it sound better, or to make you sound better, or to make something that has happened sound better. And God doesn't allow you to squash the truth, to make out that things are not as bad as they really are, maybe so that you get off lighter. He doesn't allow you to twist the truth, to distort it, to make it sound like something else. And each of those things mean that we need to think carefully before we speak. So often we say something only afterwards to think, Well, that wasn't really true, was it? Doesn't that happen so often? James's command, be slow to speak, is helpful regarding telling the truth, as well as regarding controlling our anger. Do not lie. Sounds simple, but it can be so difficult at times, can't it? Your wife comes home, all excited with her latest purchase. And she says, do you like my new top? What do you think of my new haircut? You think it's a disaster. Of course you can't say that. What do? Of course you're to be gentle and considerate. The Bible tells us that. But you cannot lie. God simply does not give us that option. Or if someone phones and asks for you, you can't say, tell him I'm not in. Or if a child comes to you and says, my dog has just died, is he in heaven? What do you say? Yes, of course we need to be gentle and considerate. But we cannot lie. And I really don't see how a Christian can justify encouraging children to believe lies about Santa Claus. I just don't see how it fits with what the Bible teaches us about lying. Or if someone asks you, how are you keeping? Are you well? How are you doing? Okay, you're not obliged to tell them every ache and pain that you experience, or every tablet that you're taking. But you are obliged to be honest. And there are ways that you can do that without sounding like you're complaining. I had an old uncle who often replied to that question by saying, I'm thankful to be as well as I am. Truthful. If a little evasive. We hear so much about little white lies. But the Bible doesn't differentiate between white lies and black lies. It simply tells us not to lie. Whether it's trivial or doesn't harm anyone isn't the point. We are to be truthful. We are not to lie. Period. But the definition of lying that I gave you at the start wasn't quite right. I said lying is saying something that you know to be untrue. But I think there are certain occasions when we can say something that we know to be untrue without actually lying. Again, I'll give you an example. I mentioned my car earlier. Again, if someone asked me how much my car was worth, they're standing there looking at my car. They can see that it's 7 years old. They can see that it has more than 100,000 miles on it. They can see the rust. They can see the odd scratch on it. And I say, oh, it's worth $50,000. I'm not lying. I'm joking. I know they're not going to believe it. I'm not trying to get them to believe it. So we could again modify our definition of lying slightly. Lying is saying something you know to be untrue with the intention that the other person will believe it. Sarcasm really falls into the same category. But God gives us a warning on this point. He knows that it would be so easy for us to use this as an excuse to lie. He knows that we could be tempted to tell a lie and then just say, oh, well, I was only joking. I didn't expect them to really believe it. And so he tells us in Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19, the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking, is like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. He's saying that if your intention was to deceive, you're like someone throwing fireworks into a crowd. You're going to cause great harm and trouble and damage. People around us treat lying so lightly. God doesn't. Do you remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to God about the amount of their possessions that they were giving to the church. God struck them down dead. God takes lying extremely seriously. It will be punished. God tells us in Revelation 22, verse 15, that everyone who loves and practices falsehood will be kept out of heaven. He tells us in Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. There's only one way to escape that punishment. It's Jesus Christ. We need to confess our sin to God. We should confess that we have lied. And as we have lied, we have been breaking God's holy law. We have been going against His holy character. We need to plead with God to forgive us because of Jesus Christ, because of His perfect life, His perfectly truthful life, because of His death and His resurrection. That is the only way for anyone to escape the punishment that all of us deserve for lying. And after we have done that, each day we can come back to the same God through the same Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to give us the grace to be like Jesus. To be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. To be truthful in what we say. Let's pray. Our Father, even as we think of our own lives, as we think of the many, many times that we have said things that are not strictly true, we're struck by how different Jesus was. In the whole of his life, he never told a single lie. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that as well as him being perfect, that he is a doorway for us into your presence, into heaven itself. Father, help us to see our sin. Help us to see that it is against your character, that it is evil in your sight. Father, we pray that each one here today, that you would convict us of that. And if anyone hasn't yet trusted in Christ, that you would bring them to ask him for forgiveness. And to experience that wonderful refreshing, forgiveness from all our sins. And Father, we pray that you would work in us each day, making us more and more like our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.